I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
After the action, it's your reaction. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
A hectic day in the Scottish Premiership. It was defeat for table toppers Hearts in the Edinburgh Derby, and Celtic and Rangers both managed to take advantage. Not vintage displays against Livingston and Motherwell, but they have helped cut the gap at the top. And now it is over to you. 0141 951 1025. Get your calls in. What did you make of the performances? Maybe you're just happy that you've taken a step closer to Hearts. Maybe you're a Hearts fan. You want to defend that performance against Hibs. Maybe you want to complain about it, or maybe you're interested in one of the other matches. 0141 951 1025. We didn't get round to getting a full-time report from Dens Park, so let's speak to Roger Hanna. Or maybe not. Maybe he's gone. Roger? No. Anyway, we've lost Roger anyway. But unfortunately, we will get round to that.
Told
but
you.
We'll try and speak to Roger if we can. But Hugh, what did you make of how it all unfolded today?
Do you know, it's a thoroughly confusing day. There were Hearts on the rebound from a deserved win over Rangers at Tynecastle, and they fell apart in the first half against Hibs. Very, very nearly got away with it. Terrific save to prevent it from going 3-3 at the end. And if we thought that was terrific entertainment, then we moved on to Livingston, and we had 4 goals before 10 minutes had passed. I come back to it. Celtic's main problem for me, St Mirren are the lowest scoring team in the Premiership, as Fraser pointed out earlier on. They took 3 off Celtic in the cup final. Livy, who average a goal a game, took 2 off Celtic today and could have had another couple on top of that. Whatever idea is in Wilfred Nancy's mind, it doesn't work. And with Rangers, they have a terrific chance now against St Mirren midweek to cut the gap between themselves and Hearts. It's a season on the park that befits the chaos and storylines off the park. Who knows what's going to happen now?
0141 951 1025 on the phones. Let's speak to Robbie, who is a Celtic fan in Falkirk. Robbie, are you delighted just with the fact it's 3 points? Was there anything you liked about the performance? Were there any concerns for you?
Good evening, Andrew. Good evening, panel. Regarding Celtic today, there's obviously the defensive frailties are there a bit, as you would expect with the back three and what we've seen in the past, especially with them losing the first 4 games. But I just want to say that what impressed me about Celtic was their ability, their bounce-back ability in that game was tremendous. Just for to go 1-0 and go 1 each and 2-1 and peg it back almost right away on the 2 occasions they went down. And obviously the previous game, the first one that Nancy won against Aberdeen, you know, Aberdeen, late in the game, make it 1-1 and Celtic come back with 2 goals. So they've got that bounce-back ability. They are a little bit vulnerable, as you would expect, but I'm still confident going into this Motherwell game. And I just want to speak about a few players in the system. I heard that Gordon Dale saying that Dyson Maeda, never a number 10, he should be playing on the last line. I noticed Dyson Maeda in the Aberdeen game in that number 10 position. He's actually brilliant in that position because it gives him the opportunity to go out wide and act as a winger and come inside to support Kenny. And I've noticed that Luke McCown playing in the wing-back position behind Maeda on the left-hand side, what he does sometimes is come inside and Maeda goes outside. So they sort of swap about. Regarding the back three, if anybody's thinking that Wilfred Nancy is going to go with 3 out-and-out centre-backs, then think again, because this is something that he done in the MLS. He played 2 traditional full-backs as his sort of kind of centre-backs. But what I didn't like about it is sometimes they're too wide. you know, I'd like him to come in a wee bit just for a wee bit extra protection, but that's just the way he plays with his centre backs. I like him to go out wide. Getting onto the January transfer window, I'm not naive enough to think that when players come in, whether it's two or three players, whether it's a striker or whatever position they are, that these players are going to hit the ground running. That's not going to happen. Sometimes it takes a couple of months. It can take 2 or 3 weeks or whatever, you know, for new players to come in. So if new players do come in, whether it's for the MLS or whatever else, it's no guaranteed that these guys are going to hit the ground running. So that's just a few different points. Just put it over to the panel.
Well, first of all, you can't approach a transfer window saying, oh, it'll take them all ages to hit the ground. You have to buy and buy well and give yourself a chance. With regard to Celtic's defensive system, they are now averaging the loss of 2 goals per game under Wilfred Nancy. And the Motherwell game at Fir Park and the Rangers game at Celtic Park will tell a few stories, because there's every chance that one of these days or nights, that Celtic defensive setup will cost them dearly.
Yeah, are there any sort of defensive concerns for you, Robbie? You're saying there's a couple of areas that, you know, you're seeing progress in players that you're liking in certain positions. The fact that, you know, there were 2 goals conceded in the opening 10 minutes, Livingston did have maybe more chances than you would have wanted against Celtic. Is that a concern, or do you think it's something that will be ironed out just the longer the players have with Wilfred Nancy?
See, Yang went a wee bit too central with that goal that came over the top, and that boy hit it with his left foot right into the top corner. I think it was in London's second goal. The thing that really actually bothers me about that is Yang should have been coming in, and, you know, he was too far central. He should have been over that side a wee bit to get that guy coming in who took the shot. The thing that actually about Yang in this system, he's actually been playing well, and he's been tracking back as a wing back and nicking the ball off and winning the ball back quite a lot of times. I actually noticed he's far back as the Hearts game and various other games, and going forward as well, he's actually been playing really, really well as a wing-back, as much as he's an out-and-out winger. And it's just the centre-back, you know, Trusty's probably preferred over Scales, because he's got better pace for that middle guy as out-and-out centre-back. As good as Scales has been, and he has been great for most of this season, especially when his back's against the walls, he's got brilliant defensive instincts, and, you know, he's good in the air. But
if they're all brilliant at the back, Robbie, they're still losing 2 goals per game under Wilfred Nancy.
I've never denied that issue, but I'm just saying to you, you've not even picked up what I say. I admit at the start of the call, defensive failures, but as I say, I gave him a wee bit of praise for coming back twice a day right away and against Aberdeen. So it's you, I'll just say this, I'm quite happy for Celtic to lose 1, 2, 3 goals, as long as they win the game. I know it might catch up them, they might lose a game, and but Celtic, if they can actually get themselves sorted out the back, I can see somebody getting an absolute scudding for Celtic. I mean, I can see them winning 4 or 5 and 6 if they can get sorted out the back. But I'm admitting it, defensive frailties here, there's no doubt about that, Hugh, but I'm just saying that they've came back, I've tried to be balanced here, I've criticised them, I've praised them, and what I like about the last 2 games is, as much as I've been conceding, bounce back ability right away. Oof. And I've not got any problems with fearing Motherwell. Not a problem, we'll take them on, and I think we can beat them. Rangers at Celtic Park, oof. Well, that's going to be a big test, because Rangers will come out all guns blazing and they'll test Celtic there, so we'll see how that one goes.
There's one thing that you can say about these Celtic players. There was a lot of question marks over Wilfred Nancy's first 4 games about whether the players were buying into his system. A lot of talk about, you know, whether the players liked the new manager, whether they were taking to what he was doing. Whether that is the case or not, we don't know. But the one thing that they have shown, as Robbie mentioned, in today's game, that resilience to bounce back from, you know, going behind twice in the first 10 minutes and then also coming back after conceding that goal against Aberdeen when it was 1-1, despite the fact that Celtic had dominated, to go and get 2 late goals. You can say what you like about the sort of, you know, defensive frailties and things not going well in that regard, but the players are certainly putting in a shift, certainly over the last 2 games, to make sure that they're getting over the line.
I could counter that, though, by saying they didn't come back against Hearts at Celtic.
I know, but we're talking about the progress that they're making now, because they've won the last 2 matches.
The next 2 matches are the ones that will tell you the real story. Motherwell at Fir Park will be a real hot night for Celtic. And of course Rangers, because Danny Rule will know if he can beat Celtic at Celtic Park, then it puts Celtic under tremendous pressure. Likewise, if Celtic beat Rangers, Danny Rule's under pressure. But I just think there's evidence there, statistical, numerical evidence there. You can't go on averaging the loss of two goals per game.
When it comes to recruitment, one area I am really interested in is the, I mean, I say wing-back areas. I'm not even sure you can call them wing-backs in this system, just given the way that they're deployed by Wilfred Nancy. He certainly doesn't seem to be wanting to play sort of natural fullbacks, wing-backs in those areas. Yang and McCowan are the players that are doing it at the moment. Sebastian Tenekte had been playing it previously before going off to the African Cup of Nations. You do wonder what the sort of ideal profile is for Wilfred Nancy in those positions, because it certainly doesn't seem to be, you know, an attacking fullback. It more seems to be an attacking player that then has to sort of fill in with their defensive duties.
Yeah, again, when you look at Yang today, obviously made the mistake, and it's putting responsibility on that he needs to get back. He was back, but he didn't understand the positional sense right. It's something that the manager will need to work with the players in this new system, because it's so important for them. Obviously today they were exposed a number of times, giving the ball away slack and allowing Livingston opportunities. They need to get better defensively. There's no getting away from that. But today there was loads of, for me, when I look at Celtic, there was positives going forward. They created a number of opportunities, but they certainly need to tweak the system to make sure they're tighter defensively, because they gave far too many opportunities today.
Well, thank you to Robbie. 01419511025. John is a Rangers fan in Canvas Lang. John, what did you make of that display, that 3 points at home to Motherwell?
Evening panel. I'm not 200% on zone who's on tonight, but probably the one that
Kenny Miller, Cammy Bell, Hugh Keevans.
Right. I would say that's probably the best I've seen us play this season in the league. And I know it was only 1-0, but it's like 28 shots, 13 on target. But you can see it's getting better. The Hearts game was probably a bit of a blip because of the role we were on. But I could see certain players. Asgard had probably one of his best games, if not his best game for Rangers. Raskin, whatever I say to him during the week, it worked. Butland, that, you wouldn't even believe me when I tell you that was his 10th clean sheet of the season. Stirling coming back, Suter came back, come on, Cameron come on. There's loads of positives, but Barron today was everywhere. He's one of these players that when he's on form for Rangers, Rangers tick. Chimiti's still... It's hard to watch him because he's getting into the chances, the opportunities, and he could have had a hat-trick today. But the whole of Ngassaman probably his best game for Rangers in a long time. And I'm looking at it, and one loss since he's come in the league. And if we get a couple, three or four players in January, win their games around. But I think next Saturday against Celtic, if we win that, we'll get a good chance. But it's probably going to be like a bit of a basketball game next week. It's going to be back and forward. But I'm looking at it and you can see we're getting better. And even I was on last week about Fernandez. He actually had a good game today and so many positives today. And I was happy to watch that today for once.
Yeah, what did you make of Rangers' performance? Because we did talk about the fact that Jack Butland made a lot of saves, but John rhymes off the stats there. Rangers did have 28 shots. They had 13 on target, whether you like XG or not. Like 3.75 is what Rangers had to Motherwell's 1.01, which is quite a gap in itself as well. So Rangers did create a lot of chances. They did miss a lot of chances. They did let Motherwell in at the other end, but they did show maybe more attacking promise than they have done in previous games.
Again, without watching it, like, it's again studying the game and the form. I mean, like, when you have 28 shots, that can obviously add to, you know, have a look. Was there great clear cut chances? Because again, we did see maybe four or five of Motherwell's and never really seen too many of Rangers ones. But they've won the game. That's what, under Danny Rule, that's what Rangers are found to do. You know, they found a way to win games. Again, John just touched on his domestic record. It is pretty good, and there's no doubt Rangers need reinforcements in January. There will be reinforcements. They need to be ones that are going to come in. And like you say, hit the ground running. They need to be hits, Rangers can't afford to sign three or four players and one or two of them are actually making a difference. They need to be signing three or four guys that are going to help these current players, because if they can get three or four that are going to come in and start, or at least push the guys like your Asgards, like your Conor Barons, like your Gassamas or your Mikey Moores, and make them better because they've got a challenge, then absolutely it's going to have been worthwhile and they're going to have a squad that could potentially go and challenge for a title. Because at this moment in time, they don't. That is just the long and short of it. So they need reinforcements.
Where do those reinforcements need to come, John? What areas?
Same, the striker department. Before, I kind of didn't see the game, but there was four or five chances. He'd have gone up the road with the match ball if he was still playing for Rangers. Because some of them were like on a plate. The last 5 minutes had something like 2 3-on-1s and just the right ball and it's a tapping. But at the defence, I've said about Suter, he's come back, but I'm still feel as if we probably need another centre half. Left back, the boys come up for England, he's done well, but there's no competition for him at left back. They've tried Aaron's at left back, and it's obviously no work to it. Probably need a left back, a striker, and midfield, but I don't think they're that bad. Raskin, Barron, Cameron, Diamondi has his up and down days, but four players that come in. I don't think it's 8 or 9. 4 players that could come in, and the way this league's gone this year, it's anybody's. It could be us, could be Hearts, could be Celtic. I don't think we're that far away. There's no team that's been sparkling in the league this year. There's teams that have had wee runs, there's teams that have had a wee bit of luck. It could go anywhere this season. That's what makes it good. That's what makes it a great watch this year.
I'll confine myself to the millennium. Over the last 25 years, there can't have been a time when Celtic and Rangers simultaneously have squads as average and mediocre as these two. And, you know, if John finds it entertaining, good stuff, because he pays to watch. But, as I said earlier, we're a very odd league if one of these two wins it.
Cammy, do you agree with John's assessment of where the squad needs strengthened, or are there any other areas you think are crucial?
Listen, you're looking at the striker department, because again, there's not enough goals coming from that department. So again, they have spent a lot of money, obviously, on Chermiti, and Majovski is there as well. So they've spent money. It's just not worked out. They've not got the return from them two guys that they were expecting. There's other areas that he mentioned defensively. I think they just need to get players, but I think centre half, when you look at the two centre halves that they're having to play at this moment in time, has been a bit of an issue. But yeah, listen, I think what Danny Rowe's done since he's came in is he's won games. That's what was asked of him to do when he comes into Rangers, is win games of football. It might not be pretty, but I think today's a big win, because Motherwell were going strong. They're a good side, so today was a good victory for them.
When you see Hearts dropping points, John, I know there is still that gap, but Rangers have a game in hand, as Celtic do as well. Does that give you any hope that, you know, things will tighten up even further at the top of the table in the coming weeks?
Well, I'd rather have the old cliche, have the points on the board, but the next couple of weeks could make or break any of the three teams that are up at the top. If you win your next couple of games and you get the right players in January, who knows? I mean, Hearts, they could bring three or four players in. They've got a chairman or an owner who's got players for other teams they could bring in. Who knows? It's the most bizarre season I remember, because Hugh's right. The two teams, whoever, Rangers or Celtic, would win this league, it's probably one of the poorest teams to win it. And I hate to say that, being a Rangers fan, but there's no team that's dominant, and there's no, look at us, the two teams in Europe as well, there's just no that anymore, and there's no fear. Teams are coming to Ibrox and they've not got the fear they used to have. I think we actually play better away from him at times, but who knows? It's I mean, for a neutral watching, it must be brilliant, and hopefully my team win the league, but I don't make predictions like, because it's been one step forward, two steps back the last few weeks at times, where you think these players are starting to play well, and then the Hearts game last week. But we're in a chance. At one point, it was like 15 points Hearts were ahead, so you never know.
Hugh, when the following weekend there's an Old Firm game, normally the build-up to that would pretty much start right now.
Yeah.
But because there are games on Tuesday, but just given the fact that those are the games in hand on Hearts, nobody can really look beyond that, because those games are so crucial and then the landscape of the league table could be completely different one way or the other come Saturday.
What happens on Tuesday night at Ibrox and Fir Park sets the tone for the Old Firm game, because on the face of it, Rangers would appear to have the easier of the two tasks, because you're playing a St Mirren side who've only managed 15 goals all season. They might have won a cup, but in terms of the league, they're just not making progress, and they have to go to Ibrox, and Rangers will be looking for a psychological boost ahead of the Celtic game. Celtic have to go to the ground of a club who have been the real surprise package. They've let themselves down today, Motherwell, but they will strongly fancy their chances against Celtic. And when they look at the defensive display from Celtic today at Livingston, they'll fancy their chances even more.
Well, thank you to John, 0141 951 1025. Give us a call now and you could be up next.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
It's Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line. 0141 951 1025.
Big day in the Scottish Premiership. Celtic and Rangers both cutting the gap on Hearts. That's because Hearts lost the Edinburgh Derby 3-2 at Easter Road to Hibs. It was a 4-2 win for Celtic against Livingston, with all four goals coming in the first half. Four of those goals coming in the first 10 minutes. Rangers with a 1-0 win over Motherwell. It was a goalless draw between St Mirren and Kilmarnock, and Dundee beat Falkirk 1-0. Let's go to Pittodrie first of all, shall we? Because there is a late kick-off between Aberdeen and Dundee United. Dave Galloway has the build-up for us.
Yes, thank you very much, Andrew. Pittodrie has sold out for this keenly anticipated clash. Hopefully what's been a very, very interesting day in the Premiership will be rounded off with a cracking contest in front of this capacity crowd. Aberdeen have certainly improved domestically, only one defeat in eight games, but many feel they let themselves down with a very timid first half performance at Celtic Park 6 days ago. Dundee United with only one win in their previous nine matches, but that was against Celtic. Both teams then capable of serving up some impressive football. Both, though, also have plenty to prove this evening. Will somebody come up with the goods? That is the big question. Looking at the team lineups, both sides make three changes. For Aberdeen, firstly, in come Shinny, Pulvara and Nisbet. Out go Lobben, Jensen and Lazetic. So Mitov in goals. Looks like they've gone back to a back four. Devlin, Milne, Knuster and Shinny. The sitting midfielders, Pulvara and Armstrong. Further forward for the Dons, Keskinen, Aushish and Carlson, with Nisbet the main man in attack tonight. The subs for the home team, Suman, Helton and Nielsen, Clarkson, Milanovic, Bilalovic, Lazetic, Jensen, Kjartansen and Giamfi. For Dundee United, the men coming in, Esselink, Iovu and Namu, outdrop Graham, Strain and Stevenson. So Richards in goals also appears to be a back four for them. Chevet, Carestes, Iovu and Esselink. Three in midfield, Namu, Sibbald and Ferry, with Waters leading the line, supported by Sapsford and Fata. The subs for the Tangerines tonight, Kucherenko, Adams, Trapanovsky, Eskisen, Dolcek, Sturton, Cleal Harding, Constable and Muller. Your match referee is Callum Scott, and on VAR it's Andrew Dallas.
Yeah, should be a good game, that one. 5:45 kickoff at Pittodrie, so we'll let you know if there are any goals in the early stages of the game before 6 o'clock. But keep your calls coming on 0141 951 1025. Paddy is a Celtic fan in the South Side. Paddy, what stood out to you from that 4-2 win over Livingston?
Enthralled by this the new manager and the system of play that he's introduced. Obviously some of the results, speak for themselves, that haven't gone our way. But this style of play, yes, I'm all for it. I want to be entertained. I think when your previous callers have quite a few have said this in Scotland. I think that's the way to go for Celtic. It is the Celtic way in tradition. You know, we are known for an attacking style. So glad to see the back of the horseshoe and the 1-0 sort of 2-1 victories. You know, rather boring in comparison. So yeah, I think we'll go on. We'll strengthen in the January window. We'll flex a bit of financial muscle, and albeit these new players that we're going to bring in, they'll have to settle in quickly, and but hopefully that will enable us to take that stretch at the top of the table and win the league comfortably.
Yeah, sort of putting aside the defensive frailties that we touched on, Cammy, if you look at the other end of the pitch, the big criticism of Wilfred Nancy's team so far was that lack of clinical edge, not taking chances, because Celtic have been creating a lot of chances, and certainly in that first half they've shown how clinical or how devastating they can be in spells where it clicks for them by getting four goals in a short space of time. It's just about trying to continue that and keep that up, whether it is, you know, just the consistency of the players that are already there, or maybe, you know, upgrading players in certain positions.
Well, yeah, listen, we all know that they need to bring in a striker. I think we're clear on that. They've got goals from other positions on the pitch, so I think that helps Celtic just now to get to January to try and find that striker to bring them in. But yeah, listen, since the new managers came in, they have created a number of opportunities, but again, you mentioned that they weren't taking them opportunities. They probably should have had more goals today than what they did. But again, the fear is when you play better teams and you offer up all these opportunities, then it can hurt you as well. So, listen, they need to get the balance right. They need to be ruthless at the top end of the pitch, which a striker in January, I think, will help the club, and they desperately need that. But also they need to understand the system a little bit better. They need to be... can't give as many opportunity to better teams today. They gave Livingston far too many opportunities, and if they can tighten that up, if they can understand the way that he wants to play and be expansive, but also be aware when you lose the ball, you've got to transition back into that defensive shape and nullify the opposition, then listen, it's a positive result today. They got the goals. They should have had more, but it's something for the manager to build on.
I acknowledge Paddy's generosity of spirit. However, it's not so subtle dig at Brendan Rodgers there, talking about horseshoes. This is the man who won 11 of 13 trophies. He's already lost one trophy under Wilfred Nancy as manager, and I guarantee that Paddy's generosity of spirit will evaporate entirely if Celtic lose to Motherwell and Rangers. He'll be back on next Saturday calling for the manager to go.
But then if they win both games, then you'll have the opposite effect.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'm simply setting out the menu of what could happen, because I cannot accept that. I know it's, we were entertained when four goals came along before 10 minutes had passed today, but defensively I maintain Celtic are all over the place. They've lost a cup final to a mediocre St Mirren team who scored three goals and could have had more.
How do those defensive frailties get fixed, Paddy? Because it was quite clear, certainly in the early stages of the game, that there were discussions, debates going on between the Celtic players about maybe not knowing what they should be doing. Certainly Ralston and Yang had a discussion at one point, Trusty and Ralston did as well. For you, is it just about, you know, time will fix that and getting used to Wilfred Nancy's system, or is it going to have to be new players? Is Wilfred Nancy going to have to make tweaks?
Yeah, it's going to be new players. Let's see, Celtic are... financially, we're just miles ahead. We've got, you know, the board have made it clear, regardless of what Hugh says, it's not going to make any difference if we lose to Motherwell and Rangers. I don't think that'll happen. However,
you don't think, Paddy, that will make any difference.
I don't think it'll make any difference whatsoever. We're going to back them. They've made that clear. I'm 100% behind that. The players there that have been playing thus far are playing for the Celtic futures. And there's a few that are going to have to find themselves at new clubs. Celtic will bring in the players that Nancy wants to play this system. That's the nature of the business. So, you know, Nancy's given them every opportunity to see whether or not they can adapt. Those who can't adapt, they're out the door.
That's why the January window is going to be so interesting when it comes to Celtic, when it comes to Rangers, when it comes to Hearts, because Celtic and Rangers spent a good bit of money in the summer. I think that a lot of people would accept that the money, the evidence up until this point would say it maybe hasn't been wisely spent so far. Things could change. They will have a bigger budget than Hearts, you would suspect, in January. It's whether they spend it wisely, and then it's what Hearts do as well, because Hearts had a net spend of £200,000 in the summer and significantly upgraded their squad. They've already got a couple of players coming in the January window. That's sort of sorted and sealed. So it's not just about who's got the biggest budget and who's got the most money to spend, is it, Kenny?
No, it's who spends it the most wisely. And I think there's only one guy that you would bet at this moment in time who would do that, and it'll be Tony Bloom at Hearts, because he's got years and years of evidence to show that he can sign players for any level, whether it be Brighton in the Premier League, whether it be Union Saint-Gilloise in Belgium, or whether it be now Hearts, who's came in and signed players for, who are now sitting top of the league after Christmas. So the smart money would be on him, that he's going to invest whatever money Hearts do have wisely. Celtic, with Paul Tisdale at the helm, making decisions, is I've got a lot to answer for recruitment, for potential manager decisions as well. Rangers have shown over a number of transfer windows that they've got it wrong as well. So it doesn't matter how much money you've got, you need to spend it wisely. And again, Paddy, when you asked, I'm really interested to see where Celtic do sign players, because they will sign a striker, no doubt about it. But when you're talking about these wider positions, Celtic have probably 10 players on their books at this moment in time that could be playing in these, if you want to call them, wing-back roles. I mean, you've got your Ralston, Tierney, Yang, Maeda, Johnson. I mean, I don't know where Johnson's going to play when he comes back. Sarachi's out of just Tuneka, who's just been signed. Donovan. You've got James Forrest on a bench, who, again, for me, can pretty much play anywhere he wants them to play in that front line. So there's so many players at that moment. Do they sign another centre-back to potentially play at the back and maybe give them a little bit more stability in that back three? I mean, I think it was one of the previous callers talked about how Wilfred Nancy did it at Columbus. We actually had a midfielder playing centre, not a full-back. He had a midfielder playing centre-back for him at Columbus. One centre-back and one full-back. So he's not going to do that at Celtic. So I'm really, really intrigued to see where Celtic go, where they strengthen, and what type of player they look for in this January.
Well, thank you to Paddy. Kai is a Rangers fan in Rutherglen. Kai, how are you?
Hi, I'm all right, panel. How are you?
Good, thank you. What stood out to you? What did you take away from that Rangers win today?
But it was the win that we needed. Obviously, Hearts dropping points. Great for all the teams in the top four. But it was a quite dire game. I've not watched a more dire game in the recent years. Even all the games that we've drawn, it was dire. Like, really dire.
In what sense? Because I think the last Rangers caller we had on, forgive me, was it John? He was saying that he thinks it's the best Rangers have played all season. Would you dispute that?
I probably would dispute that. Like, it took us till, I don't even remember, like the 78th minute. That's how dire it was. I don't remember what minute we scored. And to then, even in the last 5 minutes, we had chance after chance to add more, get more, and we just kept fluffing our lines every time.
But then, is the positive that Rangers were creating chances, or then is it looking at the negative that Rangers weren't taking the chances? It's a sort of tough one to balance, isn't it, Kim?
I think in the current climate, for Celtic and Rangers fans, it doesn't matter what it looks like. All they're doing is counting points and how close does it get you to Hearts and so on and so forth. I genuinely believe that in this peculiar season, the Celtic and Rangers fans don't care what it looks like. Just win the thing.
That was the important thing. I've always said it. It is the important thing for Celtic and Rangers. Looking at Rangers, it's about getting that win today. I mentioned that Motherwell are on a fantastic run. They've been getting a huge amount of plaudits the way they play. They're a difficult team. They've had big results this season. So it was a tough game. It was an important one for me that Rangers got the 3 points, and they managed to do that. And I think Danny Rule's been fairly consistent with getting points on the board and since he's came in domestically. I think if he can get to January, bring in a few new faces that suits his style of playing, the way he wants them to play and build that confidence of winning games as well. I think it's so important. But today was a big win. I feel as if today was a significant win for Rangers to get that 3 points over Motherwell, who were obviously sitting above them as well.
Despite the fact that Rangers have been picking up the points mostly under Danny Rowe, Kai, I think a lot of people would accept the performances. You know, they've not been blowing teams away. What do you feel needs to change for Rangers to not only pick up the points but put in those sort of dominating performances?
We've got to change a bit everywhere in the park. Defensively, we're quite short at times, letting teams that 2 seasons ago might never have got their chances. Midfield lacks quite a lot. We've got creativity, but then there's nothing on the end of that creativity. We can create chance after chance after chance, and I'm happy with that. But if we're not putting it in the back, we put the ball in the net twice tonight. Once was offside, which I think is a good spot from the referees. And the other one was a 6 yard tap in, and that was all we had. Ball in it twice against a team like Motherwell. As much as they're doing well, we should still be beating them week in, week out.
Well, thank you to Kai. We're going to hear from some of the managers involved in today's games next, and more of your calls. 01419511025.
After they play, you have your say. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards open line.
Final chance to get your calls in on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 01419511025. It is close to kick off at Pittodrie, where it's all happening. Pyrotechnics from the front of the stand. There's a big up the Dons tifo as well from the Aberdeen fans. Looks like a sellout as well. So should be a good atmosphere for Aberdeen against Dundee United. A good point you make there, Kenny, is that Aberdeen have 2 games in hand on Motherwell. If they were to win those both, be joint on points with Motherwell, who are having an absolutely fantastic season. Yes, Aberdeen's budget is much bigger than Motherwell's, but maybe Aberdeen just going under the radar with the run they're on at the moment.
I think they have. You know, they had a really, really poor start to the season. I mean, the exact kind of opposite of what they'd done last year under Jimmy Tailleen's first season in Scotland. But they are quietly climbing that table, and if they can get the result here at home, and like you say, it looks an incredible night for football up in Aberdeen. Packed stadium, the pitch looks immaculate, and they're on a decent run of form at this moment in time. And if they can get the right results, 2 tough games, I will say, against Dundee United and Hibs on Tuesday night away, that they could find themselves level on points with Motherwell if Motherwell were to lose to Celtic. So it's quietly going under the radar and climbing that table.
Let's go back to the phone shortly, but let's start hearing from some of the managers involved today. Let's go for Danny Rule first up.
Yeah, I'm happy for the 3 points against a team tries really to play football. I think for a neutral supporter, I think it was an enjoyable game. Both teams tried something. At the end, we won the game, and this is the most important key. I think I'm not looking too much to the datas, but if you have at the end 28 shots, a lot of big opportunities, 3 against 1, 4 against 1 situation, you have to close the game. I think this is what we have to do. There's no excuse, because you never know what happens, and then if we stay here and we have a draw, then we will say, oh, come on, why? Unnecessary. This is what we have to take. I think I spoke after the Hibs game in the last 15 minutes today again. This is what we have to improve very soon. Then it's much, much easier to take this win home.
And here's what Wilfred Nancy had to say about Celtic's 4-2 win away to Livingston.
Good game, difficult game to play, regarding the context, regarding the pitch, regarding the opposition. I really like the competitive spirit that we had. We came back twice from behind, and after that we were able to score 4 goals. We could have scored more goals, obviously. But I really like what we did first half. Second half, I like it also, but in a different ways, because defensively we were strong. We didn't concede. They attack a little bit more. But offensively, I think that we could have done better with the ball to be able to install in their half and to recognize to attack. Because sometimes I think that we rushed. And what happened is it was a chaotic game, you know, at a certain moment. They had the ball, they played the long ball, they played the long ball. It was not easy to escape also the man-to-man, but I'm pleased with the competitive spirit that we had, and also the...
Paul is a Celtic fan in Cowglen. Paul, what did you make of it today?
Good evening, panel. I just wanted to say that listening to some of my fellow Celtic fans falling in. Is this where it's come to now, where, you know, Celtic are, quote-unquote, have to show the ability to bounce back and creating lots of chances? Celtic shouldn't ever have to bounce back when you're playing the club at the bottom of the table. And let's not kid ourselves on. Livingston had a lot of chances. If we didn't have a two-goal cushion with that penalty that we were lucky to get, it would have been game on. It's not working. If we had a lot of chances, but we're playing Livingston, if that was any stronger team, that would have been a totally different game. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And I just don't know where we go from here. That's what we've come down to now. Celtic have shown the ability to bounce back. When have you ever thought you'd hear such a thing?
Paul, thank you for your honesty, because I was beginning to wonder if I'd gone deaf or something had happened to me. When Paddy came on and said that if Celtic lost to Motherwell and Rangers, it would make no difference. It'll make all the difference in the world. And that there's every chance that Celtic could lose to Motherwell and Rangers because of the reasons which you outlined, Paul. Defensively, all over the shop. And for Wilfred Nancy to say there, defensively, we were strong. What game's he looking at? They lost two goals, could have lost more, to the team at the bottom of the league. And this is the main problem going forward. And you're 100% correct. I know that bounce back ability might not translate into the French language, but Celtic are not about bounce back ability. And I think some people have to get real as you, Paul.
So of those two wins back to back, have they not done anything for you, Paul, in terms of your thoughts on Wilfred Nancy?
No. Simple as that. No, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. You just need to hoof the ball up the field and you're one on one with the simplicity. And we don't have a month to sit and wait to get players to play this style of football. And then how long does it take for them to gel? I've said it before. We're lucky we were playing Livingston today, and we're lucky Livingston didn't put away their chances. Really, 4-2, four goals in the first 10 minutes. We're playing Livingston and we were behind twice. It's just not good enough. It's not good enough. And then to not capitalise and score more goals in the second half to make up for that, it's not good enough.
Cammy, what do you feel those two wins have done for Wilfred Nancy? Because we've had a couple of callers who seem a bit more impressed by the direction it's going in. There'll be some supporters like Paul who haven't been impressed by it at all. It's certainly sort of taken a bit of heat off him, but it really is just all about what happens going forward, because Celtic are expected to beat Aberdeen at home. Yep. Celtic are expected to beat Livingston away. But is it what happens in the bigger games, what happens in the January transfer window, is what he'll really be judged on?
Yeah, listen, I said before, I think it's a massive week for the manager. He had a really poor start, we all know that, we spoke about that. He's got two wins under his belt, but for me the next two games are the real ones he's going to get judged on. Motherwell away, we know how difficult that's going to be, and certainly if Celtic show their defensive display like they did today, then Motherwell will punish them. There's no getting away from that. They've got good players, Motherwell, at the top end of the pitch. They're a threat, so Celtic will need to tighten up at the back and not give as many opportunities away. And then the Old Firm game, listen, he's going to get judged on the next two games. He needs to win the next two games. He needs to go on a really good run between now and the end of the season and win the title to win some Celtic fans back, to be honest.
Do you not have any faith that those next two games can be victories then, Paul?
Well, you look at what Motherwell have done today with the Rangers. They created a lot of chances and they never took them. They more than certainly take them against us with the way we'll be defending. I just don't think we have a month to sit and wait. I really don't think we have a month to sit and wait for them to maybe bring players in.
So do you feel it can get?
Yeah, probably. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not impressed with anything that I've seen so far. I've watched two full Celtic games of Wilfred Nancy's reign. I've only watched two games from start to finish. Every other one I've had to switch off because it's boring, it's rubbish, it's they're not performing and they can't defend. We're just leaking goals. I just don't see it. I don't see it happening.
The stats tell you that Paul's correct. Under Wilfred Nancy, Celtic lose 2 goals per game. They've lost a cup final to St Mirren side, severely underperforming in the Premiership, and St Mirren took 3 off them, and it could have been more. And everything is about Motherwell on Tuesday, Rangers on Saturday. If Celtic win both of those games, clean slate. We're back to Wilfred Nancy being the right choice. If Celtic lose those 2 games, we have pandemonium on our hands.
I suppose what we do need to then work out, Kenny, in the coming week and or weeks, is are Celtic getting better under Wilfred Nancy, or were the opposition just easier over the last couple of games, if you get me?
Yeah, listen, again, that's the question. But again, I'll come back to it. What like how Paul's talking, Celtic should be beating these teams. That's the long and short of it.
Yep.
They should be beating these teams, whether it be home or away, irrespective of what's been going on or who the manager is, they should be beating them. The problem against Celtic, and that is where I'm really intrigued, and I've said that about January, is I wonder how you do change these defensive frailties. Because just signing players, just change it with the players you've actually got at the moment to try and make things a little bit better. So there's a big January for both Glasgow clubs. I'm really interested to see how this kind of plays out. And Hugh's right, if the results go against Celtic in the next 2 games, then if the whole thing turns against on Wilfred Nancy. There's no doubt about it.
Well, thank you to Paul. Let's squeeze in finally Jake, who I'm guessing is a very happy Hibs fan. Jake.
Hugh Stevens.
Yeah.
Champions elect. You're having a laugh.
Have a look at league table, see you top.
Yeah, well, have a look in May at who's finishing third.
Well, I'm talking about tonight. You're talking about 5 months away.
I just look forward to the bubble busting next week.
That may very well be the case. However, unarguably, Hearts are top of the table.
Not for long. Not for long, my friend.
Well, I understand emotions. I've got a Hibby in the family myself now, and he told me last night that Hibs would win, and I did not think that would be the case, so he'll be having a really good night, as you will. And believe me, you are entitled to it. You rode your luck towards the end, though, Jake.
Jake, there were sort of accusations a few weeks ago that, you know, the Hearts bubble had burst when they went 4 games without a win, but since then, beat Celtic at Celtic Park, beat Rangers at Tynecastle, there was an away win against Falkirk in that time as well. Yes, your team won today. Do you not see Hearts bouncing back from that, no?
Oh, wait a minute.
I don't see it at all.
Well, next Saturday, for example, Hearts are at home to Libby. If they contrive to lose that match, I would agree with you. But if Libby lose to Hearts on a day when Celtic are playing Rangers, then the balance is affected yet again. So we're on a game-by-game basis here. But I understand Hibs beat Hearts. Sunshine on Leith gets a real going over at Easter Road. Happiness is a Hibs fan today, but changes day by day.
Well, thank you to Jake. Very quickly, Hugh, how do you sum up everything you saw today?
Incredible. I've got to go and have a look at these games again, because one Rangers fan said it was dire. The other fan said it was the best game he'd seen all season. One Celtic fan told me that if Celtic lose to Rangers and Motherwell, it changes nothing. And then followed by another Celtic fan who said, it's not working and it won't work under Wilfred Nancy. Give me a hand here.
Well, what a day, and we certainly won't get through it all in 1 hour on that open line. That's why we're back tomorrow, 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock. You can get your calls in on the weekend's action or anything else that you want to chat about. But that is us for tonight. Thank you very much to Kenny Miller, Cammy Bell and Hugh Keevans. Thank you to you at home for listening in, getting involved on social media and getting involved on the phones as well. Hope you enjoy your festive weekend, and the perfect way to keep on enjoying it is to stick with the GBX. That's next.